New York City, we bring you the Lifebuoy program starring Al Jolson with Parker Carcass and our special guest stars Gail Patrick and Connie Boswell with Lud Gluskin and his orchestra. And now, friends, we bring you Broadway's own favorite son, back from the gay white way that first gave him his fame, our star, Al Jolson.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. And now, for my first number, I picked a tune that I believe is one of the most melodic of the current season.
As Ben Burney would say, so help me. And the title, well, it just spoke for itself. So, Lud, play, so help me.
So help me. May I never see the moon so high. May I never see the stars close by. So help me if I don't love you. So help me. May I never know a breath of spring. May I never hear the little birds that sing. So help me if I don't love you. And if I lie, then rain should fall from heaven and blight each day with its teeming. Night should never bring sleep with its dreaming, sweet dreaming. Oh, so help me. May I never see the sight of you. And without you, what am I to do? So help me if you don't love me. May I never see the moon so high. May I never see the stars close by. So help me if I don't love you. May I never know a breath of spring. May I never hear the little birds that sing. So help me if I don't love you. And if I lie, then rain should fall from heaven and blight each day with its teeming. Night should never bring sleep with its dreaming, sweet dreaming. So help me, may I never see the sight of you. And without you, what am I to do? So help me if you don't love me.
Oh, Heine.
Yes, Al, what is it?
Heine, isn't Parker Carcass supposed to come on here right after my song?
Parker Carcass? Say, I'm sorry, Al, I forgot all about it. Parker left you a note this morning.
Yeah?
Now, maybe that'll explain his lateness there.
Let me see. It says, Dear Jocelyn, the early bird catches the worm, but who needs worms? So I'll be a little late tonight. If you want me in a hurry, you can call me at the Roxy, but I won't be there, so you can try the Capitol because I'll be at Minsky's.
Tiny, how do you like a guy like that? He knows we have a broadcast and he goes to shows. Why, that careless, thoughtless, scatterbrained, good-for-nothing, Tiny, I'd like to wring his neck.
Here's some more letter. P.S. You wouldn't say that if I were there. Tiny, look. We've got to teach him a lesson. Lock the door and don't let him in.
I'm sorry, Al. I'm afraid it's too late. That sounds like Parker Carcass coming now.
How do you like it?
Hello, Jackson.
Now, listen.
What?
Parky, you know something? Sometimes I get so mad at you, I don't know what to do. But then I take a look at that innocent puss of yours and I melt. Now, tell me, where were you till now? Come on, tell Jolie. Why haven't I seen you all week?
Well, Jackson, I'll make a long story immaterial.
Yeah?
You see, I've been very busy campaigning for the coming election.
Now, wait a minute, Parky. What do you know about politics? Do you know how to get votes?
Oh, sure. I know how to handle all the messes.
Really?
Yeah. After all, don't forget, I'm one of the common people.
Yeah?
Of which I am the most common.
Well, but, Parky, look, I didn't know you dabbled in politics.
Oh, sure. My whole family is politicians.
Yeah?
You know my brother, Harish?
Yeah?
He's an assemblyman.
An assemblyman in the New York legislature?
No, he's an assemblyman in the Chrysler automobile plant. But my older brother, Kaporis.
Kaporis?
You know, yes.
Kaporis.
He's a political taxidermist.
Now, wait a minute. A political taxidermist?
Yeah.
What did he do?
He stuffs ballot boxes. But my uncle, Dimitris.
Dimitris?
Yeah, he's in politics, too.
Oh, really?
He's got a restaurant in Washington, D.C.
In Washington, D.C.?
He feeds all the congressmen and all the senators.
Yeah?
That makes him Secretary of the Interior.
Oh. Yeah.
Listen, Parkey.
What?
I know your uncle, Dimitris. I really do. I eat in his restaurant.
Now... Yeah. I don't want to say his food is bad, you understand?
Yeah.
I don't want to say it's bad, but, Parky, I couldn't digest it.
But he's got a new system now.
Really?
Yeah. With every meal, he gives everybody a small magazine to read.
What good is that?
That helps the reader's digest.
What?
But listen, my cousin Gregorius is not a politician.
Gregorius?
He's running for an office, and you know, Justin, the first thing he did was to hire 25 stenographers.
25 stenographers? What kind of a political office needs 25 stenographers?
He wants to be a dictator.
Oh. Yeah.
And listen, he's going to do something. Listen to this. That kid is going to do something bigger than all the other dictators put together.
What is he going to do?
As soon as he's elected, he's going to give the whole world 24 hours to get out of town.
Oh.
Well, Parky, we don't have to worry over here. You see, this is the greatest fortified country in the world.
Yeah.
The Atlantic to the east,
mm-hmm.
The Pacific to the west, the Rio Grande to the south,
yeah.
And the St. Lawrence to the north. What more do we need?
We need more boats. We got plenty of water.
Well... And wait a minute, Parky. Speaking of politics...
Yeah?
Come here. This is off the record.
Yeah?
Now, You don't have to answer this if you don't want to.
Yeah.
But, who are you supporting this year? Who are you supporting this year?
Same as last year, wife and eight relatives.
Oh, no. No, what I mean is, what party do you like?
Oh, I like a party where I eat like a horse and then go home.
You don't understand. I'm referring to a political party.
Oh.
For instance, the elephant represents the Republican,
yeah.
And the donkey stands for the Democrat.
Oh, I know what you mean. The emblem of my party is the reindeer.
The reindeer?
Yeah.
What kind of a party is that?
A stag party.
What?
Yeah.
Look, Parky, look. Let me acquaint you with something.
Yeah.
Come here. Now, look, in order to get into politics, you've got to know how to deal with people. You must be able to make yourself understood to the average man. That's very important. For instance, what would you say to a layman? Now, what would you say to a layman?
Hello, Governor.
Goodbye, Parky. Get out of here.
One of the most popular singers of modern songs is a little southern girl with a personality and style all her own. She's with us tonight, so let's say hello, Miss Connie Boswell.
Hello, and thank you.
Connie, what number are you going to do for us?
Well, I figured I'd sort of come at you with a pretty little piece called Lullaby in Rhythm.
Well, we're right here listening, Connie, and come on at us.
Hear my lullaby in rhythm, dream your dreams and wander with them. Evening drums will come and take you through the night. Hear my lullaby in rhythm, all the breezes fly in rhythm. Rest, my love, let nothing wake you till the light. Now stars dance while the evening shadows creep. Mr. Moon Man's gonna take you up high when you do sleep. Hear my lullaby in rhythm. Dreams, I wander with them. Sandman's gonna come and take you. Oh, good night. Go to sleep, my baby, baby. Good night. Oh, hear my lullaby in rhythm. Dream the dreams and wander with them. Evening drums are gonna come and take you. They're gonna take you through the night. Hear my lullaby in rhythm. All the breezes fly in rhythm. Yes, my love, let nothing wake you till the light. Now stars dance while the evening shadows creep. Mr. Moon Man's gonna take you, gonna take you right to sleep. Him a lullaby in rhythm, all the breezes by in rhythm. Sandman's gonna come and take you. Oh, good night. Oh, rock my baby in the treetop, top when the wind blows. The cradle will rock, and if the bob breaks, the cradle will fall. Down will come your baby and your cradle, and oh, oh, rock-a-bye. Oh, rock-a-bye. Oh, rock-a-bye. Oh, tuck your toes in, time for dozing. Baby, good night.
That was swell, and I know our own Martha Ray is listening in tonight, and I'm sure she thinks so, too. The way you sang that was really something.
Oh, shucks, twern't nothing.
Oh, twern't, too.
Oh, twern't. Definitely twern't.
Well, if you say twern't, it's twern't. Well, have your own way about it, O'Connor. Ladies and gentlemen, tonight we have a beautiful young lady visiting us, who for the last 3 or 4 years has played featured roles in over 30 Paramount pictures. Outstanding among them, If I Had a Million, My Man Godfrey, King of Alcatraz, and just recently she completed a Paramount special called Disbarred. So without further ado, folks, I want you to meet Gail Patrick.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. Good evening, Al.
Hello, Gail. Gee, it's swell to see you again. Honestly, every time I lay eyes on you, you look more beautiful. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's your eyes. And then again, maybe it's the way you wear your clothes. And then again, maybe it's just you. I don't know.
Well, I must say that's a very pretty speech, Al. How do you like the dress I have on tonight?
Oh, it's beautiful.
It was designed for me in Hollywood. It's Anita's head number.
Anita's head number?
Mm-hmm.
And all the time I thought it was a Whistler.
A Whistler? What kind of a dress is that?
Well, you just take one look at the front and take a peek at the back, and you go.
Oh.
You know, Gail, I just wonder what our grandmother would say if they could see the styles of today.
They'd probably say, hooray for our side. Well, don't you remember when our grandmothers used to wear 6 or 8 petticoats for no reason at all?
No reason at all. I don't know about that. Did you ever sit down on one of those old-fashioned horsehair sofas?
No, I've never had that experience, but I get the point.
Well, so did Grandma. But anyway, now that we're on the subject of grandmothers and styles, I understand that the hoop skirt is back in vogue.
Yes, and a very flattering style it is, too.
Well, it may be flattering, but it certainly isn't practical. Imagine what would happen to one of those hoop skirts if a stiff breeze suddenly came along. A fellow would turn around to talk to his girl, only to find that she had gone with the wind. Which she's the only actress in Hollywood who has not been tested for the part of Scarlett O'Hara.
Thank you, folks. But you know, Al, deep down in my heart, I feel a little hurt about that.
Why?
Well, after all, I am from the South.
Are you all sure enough from the South, honey child?
Yes, so you shows that a heap, Colonel Joseph.
Why, you don't mean to tell me, baby mine, that you is a Georgia cracker.
Oh, no, sir. I is a Birmingham, Alabama corn pone.
Well, shut my mouth and listen, honey. Don't fret. Because you all are going to have your chance to play a role as great as Scarlett O'Hara. And right here and now, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to present a Yankee version of a one-act Southern drama entitled She Was a Southern Belle. But she didn't ring true. Curtain, light, and music. Oh, Scarlet! I mean, Crimson. Crimson, where is you all?
Here I am, Pappy. I was affixing you a fresh mint julep.
Well, that is one of the things that I was aiming to ask you, gal. What y'all been putting in these here juleps lately?
Well, it's this way, Pappy. We ran out of bourbon, so I've been a-spiking them with horse liniment.
Horse liniment? No wonder every time I see a bale of hay, I break into a trot. Well, that wasn't a bad joke, kind of child.
Personally, Pappy, I think it might have been a mite more amusing if you'd have said I break into a canter.
Canter? Never say that name on this program again. Shame on you, honey lamb. Shame on you. But look here. Ain't you been acting mighty queer late? What's running through your pretty little head?
I'm in love, Pappy. And he asked me to marry him.
My little daughter in love. Why, your old Pappy can hardly realize it. Of course, I knew it had to happen someday. But it only seems like yesterday. It only seems like yesterday. I like the way I say that. I think I'll say it again. It only seems like yesterday that I watched you bud from your teens into the frail blossom of innocent womanhood. And now, like a bolt from above, my little gal's grown up. This young man that you're in love with, is he well-to-do?
No, sir, Pappy. His wages are mighty small.
Well, I guess that don't make no difference. Do you know what I was getting when I got married?
No, sir, Pappy.
Neither did I until it was too late.
That's him now, Pappy. I know he's not.
Come in, stranger. Crimson sweetheart, I love you.
Darling, I adore you.
Oh, kiss me, my sweet. Oh, kiss me again.
Dad, wait.
Again.
Just a minute, stranger. Ain't you kind of overacting the part a little bit?
Oh, but Father, he can't help it. Look at his romantic face.
Yeah. Isn't he the picture of emotion?
Yeah, and don't forget, the motion pictures are your best entertainment.
Father, I want you to meet the man I love, Rhett Bungler.
I got the last name, but what is the first name again?
Rhett.
I thought I smelled a rat.
Father, you're forgetting your southern hospitality.
Why, you was right, Crimson. Pour Mr. Bungler a mint julep.
But, Pappy, we ain't got nothing left but horse liniment.
Well, give him a swig. He may put some horse sense in his pumpkin haze. Here, Mr. Bungler.
Yeah?
Drink hearty, sir.
Well?
Oh, thank you, Colonel.
Well?
Here's mud in your eyes.
How do you feel, Mr. Bungler, after your drink? Well, now that you've tasted of my hospitality, sir, might I be so bold as to inquire who you are?
I have come here to ask for the hand of your daughter.
The hand of my little daughter?
Yes.
Well, before I give my consent, I must inquire. Are you a gentleman from the South?
No, I'm a Yankee dipsy doodle dandy with a hey flugy flugy and a floy floy.
Well, I'll have none of your Yankee ilk around these here premises, Mr. Bungler. Do you all realize that my daughter's been raised on the bluegrass of old Kentucky?
Well, if she marries me, she'll have to change her diet.
Sir? No man can talk to me that way.
Do you all realize that my daughter's the belle of the South?
Listen, your daughter may be the belle of the South, but I am the belle of the North.
You, the belle of the North?
Yeah, just what do you mean you all is the belle of the North?
Well, believe it or not, I'm the good humor man.
You know, folks, every kid has some particular hero whom he keeps near and dear to his heart through the years. Well, I, too, have a boyhood hero whom I've never forgotten. And when I heard we were going to broadcast in New York, I called him up and asked him to come over and say hello. He's right in the studio watching the program. And while I don't want to impose on his friendship, I'm so thrilled to have him here that I want to share that feeling with the millions of people throughout the country who love and respect him just as much as I do. Ladies and gentlemen, I give you New York's own Al Smith. Yes, sir, it's good to see you. That's all I can say. Believe me, Governor, it's a great honor. It's a great honor to have you here. It really is.
Thank you, folks, for the kind applause. And Al?
Yeah?
It's good for me to see you.
Well, as I said before, honest, it's a great honor to have you here, Governor.
Just a second, Al. Did I hear you say, Governor?
That's right.
Aren't you getting a little bit the best of it?
Well, the best is none too good. You know, Governor, it's been quite a while since I've seen you. The last time, as I recall, we played golf together in Albany.
Oh, I remember that very well. You were up there in a great show. Wunderbar, I think was the name of it.
Yeah, that's right, Governor.
Well, the whole town came to see you. And the SRO sign hung in front of the box office for a whole week.
SRO sign? Governor, the way you said that, you sounded just like an actor.
Well, Al, while we're kind of reminiscing here, I might as well be on the level with you and admit that I was an actor for several years.
You were?
Certainly. I started in amateur theatricals back in the early 90s, down in the old church school on Newbury. My first performance in front of a grown-up audience was at the People's Theater. You heard of that?
Sure. Tell me something. How did you do, really?
Well, I got to be on the dead level with you.
Yeah.
I got the hook. You know, there were no songs at that time.
Yeah.
But I stuck to my guns, and finally, I began to play bits in several shows around my neighborhood. You know, I became a pretty well-known amateur after a while.
Now, Governor, don't tell me you got a job in a unit.
Well, no, Al, because there were no units in those days.
You said it. There were so many vaudeville theaters to play, even professional actors were working. But those were the days. Those were the days. And it really gives me a warm feeling all over to hear you talk about them. Not only because we've been friends for so long, but because, well, Governor, it's a thrill to have somebody on this program that's in show business before I played the Winter Garden.
Well, Al, I remember those shows very well, and they certainly were great.
Well, thanks, Governor, but I remember some of the rallies you used to have. I attended most of them, and we used to clown around and sing songs, but there's one thing I want to ask you. Why is it at all your meetings, you never would let me sing East Side, West Side? Why was that?
Well, that's easy for me to answer. I was very reluctant to allow you to scrape your knees on the sidewalks of New York.
Nice going, Governor, but you know, I've had a few experiences on the sidewalks of New York myself. When I was a kid, I came up from Washington, D.C. and sold papers on Grand Street. There was one night I'll never forget. It was a cold Christmas night. Cold as could be. I was standing on the corner, stamping my feet and rubbing my hands together when a very important-looking man came up to me and handed me a $10 bill and asked me for a paper.
Well, what did you do, Al?
I said, look, mister, the paper is only 2 cents, and if you hold this paper for me, I'll take your $10 and I'll run and get the change on this cold Christmas night. Well, sir, when I got back New Year's, he was gone. If you ask me for the change, I'll kill you.
Well, Al, you may kid about it, but I happen to know that you did sell papers on the streets of New York, and I think it's something to be proud of. And while we're talking about New York, there's something I'd like to say to the people all over the country about a subject that is very close to my heart.
What's that, Governor?
The New York World's Fair of 1939. I think that Grover Whalen, the board of directors, and the various committees are doing a splendid job. And I'm sure that the World's Fair is going to be a great credit to New York. You know, Al, when I compare our town of today with the New York of my boyhood, it really thrills me.
By the way, Governor, there's been a lot of speculation about this. People talk, and nobody seems to know. Just where were you born, partner?
Well, I was born down at 174 South Street, in a little house right under the Brooklyn Bridge. You know, the bridge was erected when I was a small boy. My father was at the opening ceremony. And when he came home, he said, Alfred, I've just witnessed a great spectacle, but at the same time, a very bitter disappointment.
Why, what did he mean?
Well, here's the story as he told it to me. He said, son, This bridge has kept thousands of men working for years. The steel cables, the concrete, the wiring, the machinery cost millions of dollars. Today was the opening. Bands were playing. Flags were waving. They cut the tape, and finally, it happened.
What happened?
Why, they found out that all you could do was go to Brooklyn.
Well, Governor, I can't top that.
Oh, yes, you can now. You're too modest. There's a certain little song I've heard you sing a dozen times. And I like it better every time you do it. Al, for the radio audience, will you kindly sing Avalon?
No sooner said than sung. Lud, let's have it. I found my love in Avalon. Beside the bay. And I left my love in Avalon. And I sailed away. My dream of a heart in Avalon. From a dark till a dawn. And so I think I'll never
folks, how many of you have sent for your four-leaf clovers?
I did, Danny. Look, there
well,
it is right there. Yeah.
Well, Parky, well, that thin, streamlined case with the clover inside looks good on your watch chain, you know?
You know, and it's easier to wear than that big horseshoe I used to carry around.
I'll bet you're right, Parky. But no kidding, folks. Haven't you always wanted to carry a four-leaf clover, a genuine four-leaf clover? You know, I really feel lucky with mine. And many people tell me if you feel lucky, you're apt to be lucky. Now, let me tell you all about it. The clover's enclosed in a gold color finished case about the size of a silver dollar with an unbreakable crystal. And remember, folks, it's an honest to goodness four leaf clover, freshly picked and specially preserved to stay fresh indefinitely. You'll be proud to carry it. You ladies can wear it on a velvet ribbon as an old fashioned locket. You men, wear it on your watch chain or carry it in your pocket. Don't forget, these real four leaf clovers will be sent to you only as long as they last, so don't wait. Send for yours right away. Now, here's all you have to do. Simply write on the envelope, Life Boy, Box 7, New York City. Enclose your name and address for 15 cents and free Life Boy box truck. Not the whole carton. And your real four-leaf clover in a handsome case will be sent right off the bat, right straight to your home. But hurry, because they're going fast, and we can't get any more this season. You got the address? Life Boy, Box 7, New York City. Just send 15 cents in coin and free Life Boy box truck. If you live in Canada, listen carefully. Just address Life Boy in care of the station to which you are listening and enclose 20 cents, two dimes with your free Life Boy box truck to cover cost, duty, postage, and handling. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.